Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Kristen Lee from the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. Thanks for joining the call this morning. Today, we'll be discussing the administration's efforts to combat antibiotic resistance, including today's release of the National Action Plan to Combat Antibiotic-Resistant Bacteria. As a reminder, today's call is on background, attributable to an administration official. On the White House website, you can also find the fact sheet, blog, National Action Plan. At 9:15 today, the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology will also discuss this topic, and you can either attend in person or tune in to the webcast on the White House website. This morning, President Obama also participated in a WebMD Q&A that is published on WebMD's website. I'd now like to introduce the speakers on today's call, who will provide brief opening remarks before we open it up to your questions. So today we are joined by Susan Collar-Manares, the Assistant Director for National Health Security and International Affairs at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, Beth Bell, the Director at the National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Stephen Kappas, the Deputy Administrator for Animal Production and Protection at the Agricultural Research Service at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and Joe Larson, the Acting Deputy Director, the Division of CBRN Medical Countermeasures at the Biomedical Advanced Research Development Authority, also known as BARDA. So thank you. So Susan, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Kristen. A little over a year ago, President Obama tasked his Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, the PCAST, to provide him with actionable recommendations for combating antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Last September, the President issued an executive order directing agencies across the government to create a national action plan for combating antibiotic-resistant bacteria that addresses those recommendations. Today, we are releasing that plan. This plan is the most aggressive and most transparent to date, outlining steps to address the growing crisis of antibiotic resistance. There are five goals associated with the National Action Plan. These include slowing the emergence of resistant bacteria and preventing the spread of resistant infections, strengthening the national One Health surveillance effort to combat antibiotic resistance, advancing development and the use of rapid innovative diagnostic tests for identification and characterization of resistant bacteria, accelerating basic and applied research and development for new antibiotics, other therapeutics, and vaccines, and finally, improving international collaboration and capacities for antibiotic-resistant prevention, surveillance, control, and antibiotic-resistant research and development. My colleagues from the executive branch will provide details associated with those goals. The President's FY16 budget released earlier this year nearly doubles the nation's investments in combating and preventing antibiotic resistance. This $1.2 billion investment increases funding for combating antibiotic resistance across four federal departments. The budget proposes almost $1 billion in investments in FY2016, nearly doubling the 2015 funding level for the Department of Health and Human Services, to significantly expand America's investments in the development of new antibiotics, rapid point-of-care diagnostics, and surveillance in healthcare settings. It nearly quadruples antibiotic resistance and surveillance funding at the Department of Agriculture to $77 million. And it increases the funding at the Department of Veterans Affairs and Defense to $85 and $75 million, respectively, to address issues related to antibiotic resistance in the healthcare settings for service members and veterans. A component of the executive order that was issued in September required the Department of Health and Human Services, in coordination with the Department of Defense and USDA, to establish a President's Advisory Council to help oversee the implementation of this action plan and to offer counsel and advice regarding the emergence of antibiotic resistance to the President. We are pleased to announce today that HHS, Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, has on its website the charter for that group and the process to nominate potential members. Finally, implementation of the National Action Plan will require the sustained, coordinated, and complementary efforts of individuals and groups around the world, including public, private sector partners, healthcare providers, healthcare leaders, veterinarians, agricultural industry leaders, manufacturers, policymakers, and patients. All of us who depend on antibiotics must join in a common effort to detect, stop, and prevent the emergence and spread of resistant bacteria. I'll turn it over to my colleagues.
Thank you very much, Susan, for having my talk with Dan Stell. I'm the director of CDC's National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases. And thanks very much for the opportunity to say a few things about CDC's activities as part of the National Action Plan. This plan responds to one of the most important infectious disease threats of our time, antibiotic resistance. Every year, as the CDC's threat report demonstrated, more than 2 million people in the United States get infections that are resistant to antibiotics, and at least 23,000 people die as a result. Antibiotic resistance really threatens modern medicine. If we lose antibiotics, we lose the ability to treat infections associated with many of the most important advances in medical science, like organ transplantation, like cancer chemotherapy, like joint replacements. All of these situations are ones where we assume that we can treat the infections that come after these interventions. So antibiotic resistance and the development of superbugs that are really not treatable by many, if any, antibiotics is a very important threat. CDC's role is prevention. CDC works 24/7 to protect Americans from infectious disease threats. And as part of the action plan, CDC has three areas of work that I'll go over in a bit of detail. An overall point is that there are actually prevention strategies that we know can work. There are effective strategies that we can implement now, which will have an important and meaningful impact in reducing this ever-growing threat. And that's the focus of CDC's part of the action plan. So first of all, CDC, to stop spread and to protect people, CDC will initiate actions in every state. We'll establish state antibiotic resistance protect programs, which are collaborations among state health departments, healthcare facilities, and many community stakeholders working together to stop outbreaks, to improve prescribing, and to prevent infections. We will better track superbugs and accelerate outbreak detection. We will establish a detect network of antibiotic-resistant regional laboratories to improve outbreak response and to rapidly identify new threats using cutting-edge methods. And we will work to improve antibiotic prescribing in healthcare facilities and in doctors' offices, one of the important drivers of antibiotic resistance, with antibiotic stewardship programs in every hospital and improve strategies to help doctors improve prescribing. As noted, this action plan is a comprehensive strategy, and if we work together, we can turn around this growing threat. But we really need to act now. Inaction is going to compound what is already an extremely serious and growing problem. Thank you very much, and I'll turn the floor over to the next colleague.
Thank you, Susan. This is Stephen Kappos. I'm with the Agricultural Research Service of the USDA. And we recognize we have an important role in dealing with antimicrobial resistance. And our efforts is categorized in three different activities: stewardship, surveillance, and research. We have six different agencies that are collaborating on this effort, and we're working closely with other agencies and departments within the federal government, including FDA and CDC. USDA and FDA will work together on stewardship with working with producer groups such as veterinarians and animal producers to incorporate best management practices to reduce the use of antibiotics on the farm. Specifically, FDA and USDA will consult with the livestock and veterinary organizations on development of educational outreach materials on the responsible use of antibiotics, and we'll meet with and have started meeting already with American Veterinary Medical Association, the American Association of Veterinary Colleges, to consider incorporation of additional materials into the curricula of U.S. veterinary colleges, as well as continuing education for veterinarians. We've also engaged the American public and land-grant universities and can also look at doing the same thing in animal science departments. USDA will also conduct assessments in various animal production and veterinary settings to identify priority areas where research is needed to support the development and validation of stewardship activities to assure judicious antibiotic use. And the last item under stewardship, FDA and USDA will work with livestock and veterinary organizations to consider ways to develop, update, and incorporate assessments of antibiotic stewardship activities into quality assurance programs. A number of the animal commodity groups, national groups, have quality assurance programs, and this will fit nicely into adding stewardship activities into those programs. On the surveillance effort, we already work closely with FDA and with CDC on surveillance programs. We know we need to enhance our surveillance efforts. So we take a One Health approach to disease surveillance to improve detection and control of antibiotic resistance by integrating data from multiple monitoring networks and providing high-quality data, such as genomic data, that will allow us to track resistant bacteria in the diverse settings in a timely manner. USDA will also continue to work with FDA to enhance monitoring antibiotic resistance patterns, as well as antibiotic sales, usage, management practices at multiple points in the production chain. And also, we'll continue to do and enhance our efforts on routine testing of zoonotic and animal pathogens for animal susceptibility, and this will be done through the diagnostic laboratory network led by APHIS, that's called the National Animal Health Laboratory Network, and also FDA's diagnostic network laboratories. And this will be done by using standardized testing methods and data sharing. And then the last item is research. USDA has been conducting, but will plan to conduct a lot more research in identifying alternatives to antibiotics for bacterial diseases, as well as for replacing the use of antibiotics for growth promotion. We'll also continue to do more in looking at microbial ecology in the agriculture setting. And another way to reduce the use of antibiotics is to try to identify animals that reduce susceptibility to bacterial diseases, such as respiratory diseases, which are the reason for using antibiotics for disease purposes. So once we identify animals that have reduced susceptibility to those diseases, we'll look for genes and see how we can increase the selection for that trait. Thank you. I'll turn it over to my next colleague.
Thanks, Steve. So this is Joe Larson. I'm the Acting Deputy Director of CBRN Medical Countermeasures at the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, which is part of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response within HHS. So our focus is on product development. We work in close concert with our colleagues at the National Institutes of Health, who are focused primarily on early-stage research and development and preclinical development of products. Whereas we are the government's product developers, we focus on clinical stage development through product approval. And our goal, most broadly, is that we want a diverse and vibrant pipeline of antimicrobial therapies in development, basically at all times, to ensure that we are keeping ahead of the pace of resistance. BARDA has had a lot of experience in these efforts. Since 2004, we've funded 150 different medical countermeasure projects, and now we're seeing the benefits of that with now having 20 products that have been FDA approved. In fact, one approved this week for inhalational anthrax. But in 5 years ago, we switched our focus, though, to focus to looking at antimicrobial resistance in concert with our core mission of bioterrorism preparedness. And since then, we've supported 7 different candidate products, 4 of which have now progressed to phase 3 clinical development. 2 of those in phase 3 clinical development have hit their primary endpoint in one of two of their registrational trials required for successful FDA approval, and are projecting new drug application submissions to the FDA within the end of this calendar year or early 2016. Going forward with this president's initiative, I think we're going to be working very closely with our colleagues at NIH to ensure the seamless transition of products from early stage development into late stage development. We're going to be focusing on creating a cadre of market incentives that are going to establish novel public-private partnerships that are going to incentivize pharmaceutical companies to be engaged in this area to want to produce new and novel antimicrobial therapies. We're going to be hopefully expanding our role into diagnostics as well and pushing forward on that front to ensure that diagnostics are informing the appropriate treatment and use of antibiotics. We'll be looking at forming broad partnerships portfolio partnerships with companies engaged in this space. Thanks.
Excellent. So, operator, we now like to turn it back over to you for questions.
And our first question will come from Catherine Boudreau with Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I was hoping that the official from USDA could repeat their name because I missed it. And then my, also my question is that some of the criticism of the plan from the USDA in particular fails to set any targets for reduction in antibiotic use in food animals. So I was just wondering if there was any future plans to set some sort of targets or as you collect more data.
This is Steve Pappas. I'm sorry we've had difficulty in understanding you, but I think the part that I caught was setting targets for reduction of antibiotic use in farm animals. We recognize that this is an area that we need to have better data than what we have now. We have data on the sales of it, and we need to get species-specific information and what production systems different stages of production are actually using that data and targeting for those specific areas. So we need to have the evidence that will allow us to target the specific areas that are most critical. So we've got a lot of surveillance and data to collect, and then we'll be looking at how we use that evidence to make specific recommendations.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Sandy Lamott with CNN Medical. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. Yes, critics are already saying from, for example, stop antibiotics overuse, that this is not going far enough when it comes to phasing out antibiotic use in animals. Your reaction?
So this is Steve Kappas from USDA again. Yes, we recognize that it's important in human health and animal health that we need to judiciously use antibiotics for all purposes. And FDA has already is moving forward in removing the growth promotion label of medically important antibiotics, and USDA is working with FDA. And the pharmaceutical companies are working very well with us in removing that label. We recognize there's more that we need to do, and that we will continue working on stewardship and education outreach on the judicious use and how we can reduce uses of antibiotics that are not necessary, and also look into research and how we can identify alternatives. So we need to better understand the microbial ecology and what's going in agriculture settings, and then emphasize the development of vaccines and other types of alternatives that we can use to reduce the use of antibiotics.
Thank you. We'll go next to Brenda Goodman with WebMD. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the call. My question is for the official from the USDA. I had a question about the language. It wasn't clear to me as I was reading the report whether the efforts to end antibiotic use for growth promotion in animals were going to continue to be voluntary for farmers, or if FDA and USDA are indeed making those mandatory now.
So the voluntary part is only it's voluntary for the pharmaceutical companies to remove the label for growth promotion, and every indication is that all of the labels for growth promotion are being going to be voluntarily removed. Once those labels are removed, then it is illegal to use those antibiotics for growth promotion. So the only voluntary part is in removing the label. After that, it's no longer legal. And if those antibiotics are found to be used for growth promotion, that there isn't a disease prevention or control component to it, then people will be held legally liable for using it in that manner. And with that, I'd like to turn it back over to Susan for additional comments.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Steve. I want to remind those on the call that this administration takes this sector extremely seriously. That is why we quadrupled the budget for USDA to better understand the emergence of antibiotic resistance in the food production cycle, to develop research, to identify alternatives for antibiotics in the animal sector, and to increase surveillance to better understand if and when something does emerge from this sector, that we can rapidly identify it and attempt to mitigate it before it becomes a public health issue. This is a focus of this administration and will continue to be a focus of this administration. And through the budget, we're hoping to empower USDA and FDA to take aggressive measures to directly address the issues that you have raised on this call.
Thank you. Our next question is from Deanne Davis with Freelance. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. In prior efforts to develop vaccines, there has been easing of liability, some sort of liability guarantees for those companies that are involved. Is this part of the plan going forward in this effort?
No. The short answer to that is no, it doesn't.
Okay, thank you. Then our next question will come from Daniel Loeb with the PA Jewish Voice. Go ahead, please.
Another person asked my question. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on then to Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report. Please go ahead.
Yes. On the issue of setting targets for reduction in farm use, you said you needed more information, but do you have a deadline for making a decision about that?
This is Steve Capps of the USDA. No, we do not. We know that we need to engage with the industry and start collecting that information. We have to work closely with them. And so we do have a stakeholder meeting that FDA and USDA are organizing at this time, and that will be late spring, early summer that we're planning on holding that.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sarah Ferris with The Hill. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thanks for doing the call. I was just wondering, and maybe I missed this, but do you have an official cost of doing this plan?
Great, good question. This is Susan again. So what we've identified in the FY16 budget is $1.2 billion of activity that we need to implement in the coming year to make sure that we're starting to address the actions associated with this plan. We realize that this is an area of active discussion in Congress, and we want to make sure that Congress knows they have the ability to save lives by implementing the funding that is needed to start these significant steps in the action plan.
And, Operator, I think we have time for one last question.
That will come from Jim Landers with the Dallas Morning News. Go ahead, please.
Many of these infections are acquired in hospitals, and I haven't heard you say anything about hospital-acquired infections on this. Is that part of your strategy here?
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, you're absolutely right. There is a huge burden of illness and death from antibiotic-resistant infections that occur in hospitals, and this is the pivotal focus of the CDC portion. We have actually a number of ways of tracking resistant infections in hospitals now, but part of this initiative will allow us to capture information about resistant organisms in facilities that hospitals can use themselves and that health departments can use to track patients as they move between facilities. We know that these infections are spread among facilities in the community as patients go from hospitals to long-term care and back. And so a focus of our efforts is to better track resistant infections in hospitals and in other facilities, provide tools to hospitals, to health departments, so that they can stop these resistant organisms in facilities and throughout the community, and provide some national targets and benchmarking, which will help us all to move forward in making a significant progress. As I mentioned in my opening comments, we actually have a number of strategies that work, and examples of situations where when communities and hospitals get together, for example, we can cut the incidence of CRE, this nightmare bacteria, by 50% or more. So a lot of what we're talking about in this initiative is scaling up proven prevention strategies, which certainly start with hospitals and other facilities in the community.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining today's call. As a reminder, this call is on background, attributable to an administration official. We have all of the materials available on our website. Please feel free to reach out to us with any remaining questions. Thanks for your time.